Thank you. That's a wonderful song. Here we go. Romans chapter 11 says here, I would not, brethren, verse 25, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's a teaching that we're Israel, and since Israel rejected Jesus, we're the replacement of Israel, and of course that is just ridiculous. We are not Israel. We are the local New Testament Gentile church. Amen. Jews are welcome. Amen. And Jews get saved the same way as Gentiles do. But they rejected Christ, and God set them on a shelf, and God's using the church right now. And after the rapture, God's going to start using Israel again, but God's going to restore Israel. The next verse says, so shall all Israel shall be saved. And so all Israel shall be saved. In one day, after the tribulation period, God's going to save all the Jews in Israel in one day, and it might be the greatest miracle in the Bible. All the Jews in one day are getting saved. Until then, they are the enemies, verse 28, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. There are Jews that can get saved, but most Jews won't. Blindness, verse number 25 says, blindness in part is happened to Israel. They're blind to the gospel. So can Jews get saved? Yes, but not very many of them do. What do most Jews do now? They're enemies of the gospel. Some of the wickedest people in the country are Jews who hate God. You say, like who? George Soros. You ever heard of that name? He's the one that's funding the broken border, giving all that money to the people that come, they're breaking out prisons and sending their criminals to America through the border. You ever heard? There's so many Jews. Kissinger, anti-American, and so many Jews that use their money against God. They're enemies of the gospel now because they rejected Christ. But one day, God's going to restore Israel. So right now, we have to understand they are God's people. We're for Israel. Amen. But you need to understand their attitude towards God right now. But that's going to change one day. Why would you have you read this? The word ignorant there, verse 25, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant, comes from the word ignore. In other words, when God makes his word available to you and you say, I'm not going to learn it, I'm going to ignore it, then you become what? Ignorant. It doesn't mean stupid. It means untaught. And so Israel has ignored what God gave them in the Bible, and they are ignorant about Jesus coming to die for them. And that's why that they've rejected him. And so when God gives us his word, you don't have to read it. You can ignore it and be ignorant. But the way you learn God and the way God reveals himself is through his word, not through emotions, feelings, or mysticism or any of the other out-of-the-Bible stuff, all right? So watch this. Look at verse 26. It's our text verse, and it says, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. If it's a capital D, that's the name of a person. That's the Lord Jesus. The Deliverer of Israel is going to one day, after the tribulation, deliver the Jews when they believe the gospel. How does God deliver people now? When you believe the gospel. Here it's talking about Israel being God's beloved. And there's only one nation that's God is the Lord, and that's Israel. America is not a nation where God is the Lord. All right? America is just like any other nation. If we do what God says, God blesses us. If we depart, that's it. And you're watching America be judged right now, because America's kicked God out of the system. They don't have a use for God. But I can apply that. Let's talk about Israel for a second. Israel has sins and ungodliness that they need to deal with, but God will deliver them from their sins and ungodliness when they believe the gospel. Let's go to personally. If you're lost this morning, you have sins and ungodliness that have to be dealt with for you to go to heaven, and you could be delivered if you'd believe the gospel, if you would believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. That's why people say, well, I'm not that much of a sinner. You know, there's other people. There's plenty. That's not the object. The object is Jesus died for your sins. Your sins. And when people, when they're not that bad, they almost argue with Jesus why he came. He came because of their sin. And that's how he sets us free. And he is the deliverer. The name of the sermon this morning is God Has Delivered Us. And how did all of this come to be? Go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 27. And look at verse number 39. Matthew 27, verse 39. It says here, Matthew 27, they have crucified Jesus, and look what they ask him to do. It says here, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Three people are on a cross. On each side are professional criminals that have murdered and stole, and they've been criminals their whole life. And in the middle is the Lord Jesus, the only one who never sinned. And they're not making fun of the murderers and thieves on either side of Jesus. They're wagging their head and mocking God on the cross. You would think Jesus, all Jesus did for 33 and a half years was heal and feed and help and preach to. He never hurt anyone. Yet he's the one dying sinless on the cross. And here, society is making fun of Jesus who never sinned. Look at verse 40. Ready? Watch this. And saying, while they wag their heads, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Jesus did not deliver or save himself. Right? Watch this, verse 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. So while he's dying in their place, they're saying, save yourself. He's going, I'm doing this for you. If I come down, who will die for your sins? And the total misunderstanding while he's there, dying in their place. Save yourself. Deliver yourself. Look at verse number 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe, Almighty God, who came down, put on flesh like you and I put on clothing, and died in our place. While he was on the cross, Jesus did not deliver himself for the purpose of one day so he could deliver you. Had he come down off the cross, he would not be the Savior, the one who died in your place. So he did not deliver himself for the sole purpose of doing what? Delivering everyone else, making salvation possible for the whole world. What a wonderful truth. That's how it began. Now, we looked at one of the names of Jesus is the deliverer. All right? So what did Jesus deliver you from when he saved you? What did you use before you were saved? What did you used to be under the power of that you have been set free from now? Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll stay in the New Testament, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. He's talking about his second missionary journey when he came to Corinth. We looked at it in Acts 18. And he said, our struggles were so strong we despaired of life. Let me rephrase that for you. He said, there were many times we thought we weren't going to make it through. We thought we were going to die. We despaired of life. We said, this is it. They hazarded their lives for the Lord Jesus. All right? So he's telling the Corinthians, at the Corinthian church, there were times we just said, okay, the Lord's calling us home. We're not going to make it through this. And watch, verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. In other words, if God brings us through this, only God can do that. And so we need to trust the Lord, because we don't have a chance of doing this by ourselves. We have the sentence of death in ourselves. If God doesn't help us, we're going to die. That's why serving the Lord, it's amazing people's mentality. Well, if I serve the Lord, my life will get better. Well, keep in mind, the devil doesn't harass people that don't care about God's work. Once you start trying to serve the Lord, you gained a new enemy, someone trying to stop you. Well, since I'm going to church and since I'm doing this, my life is... You need to read your Bible and pray and walk with God. And you need a close walk with the Lord so that God can help you through the struggles that are coming. Because the devil saw when he lost you. The devil saw when you got saved and now he can't take you to hell. He knows that's frustrating to him. So what's he try to do now? Try to frustrate you and hurt you and make your life a living hell until you get to heaven? You gained an enemy. Paul said, in serving God, giving their life, giving the gospel out, seeking to get people saved, there were times we thought we were going to die. Christian, there are struggles in the Christian life. So I've watched many people. It's American Christianity. We're so convenient. You know the worst part about air conditioning? Let's talk about air conditioning for a second, okay? It's made us soft. It's only been around 70 years. It's not been... People said, one person made this statement, oh, the power goes out. Oh, I couldn't make it without air conditioning. Okay. People have made it for thousands of years without air conditioning. But the problem with air conditioning is we're so used to it now. We're not used to sitting in church and sweating. I didn't say I wanted to. I'm just saying we're so used to the convenience and the softness. They said that's probably the worst part about air conditioning is what it has done to our ability to struggle. It's robbed us. You could say it's killing us. It's making us so intolerant of any opposition that here's the attitude. Well, I'll serve the Lord, but if it gets hard, I'll quit. And most do. They don't keep going. Christian, he said here, we despaired of life. We thought we were going to die, and we were to the point, if God didn't help us, we knew we couldn't make it. We had to trust God. Okay? That's only on his second missionary journey. The opposite. How did Paul die? Got his head cut off. Right? Well, if I serve the Lord, and if I go to church, everything will be just fine, and nothing bad will ever happen to me. You have a twisted American Christianity view that's really crippling. It doesn't let you endure any hardness. It doesn't help you keep going when the going gets tough. Here, it doesn't get any tougher than this. Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 10. Watch this. Who delivered us? So they're trusting in God. Who delivered us? There's our key word, delivered. Watch this. From so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Three times the word deliverance is there. He said, God delivered us from so great a death. Interesting words. So great a death. That's in reference to verse 9 and 8. He's saying, if we had died serving the Lord, it would have been a great death. In our society, death is the worst thing that can happen to anybody. Whatever it takes, do whatever you got, don't die. He said, a great death would have been while we would have been on the mission field, giving our all for the Lord. And if God would have called us home, it would have been a great death. We don't think that way. There are Christians in nursing homes now. Their bodies are tired. They're hurting. And they're close to heaven. You know what their attitude is? Been a good life. Praise the Lord, I've got to serve Him, but I'm ready to go home. And when I leave this body, I'm going into glory, into the presence of God. That is a Bible great death. Somebody said, well, you Christians, you sure do struggle and you sure do have hassles on this earth. Yeah, but we sure do die well when we trust the Lord. Amen? Because we've got a lot. We've got eternity to live for. We have, the only time you find those two words in your Bible, great death. What a phrase. He said, God spared us. God delivered us from a great death. What a thought. Amen? A great death. We've been delivered. Watch this. And then it says, and doth deliver, present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver, future tense. We've been delivered. He is delivering. And he's yet going to deliver us. What? He delivered us when he died for our sins. He delivered us from our sin, the penalty of our sins on the cross. He delivered us now from your present circumstances if you'll let him. He only delivers you if you let him. Right? There's still people that are having nervous breakdowns and heart attacks and anxiety. And we can go down the whole list. Panic attacks. God is not a part of their life. But if you ask them, can you be saved and still have a nervous breakdown? Yes, you can. You can trust Jesus for your salvation and then worry about everything in your life to where it takes your health. It's like living without God. You won't let, in other words, he died for your soul so you'd never go to hell if you trust him. You trusted him and then you don't let him help you with anything else. You do it all your way. And guess what that brings? Stress, heartache, heart attack. It will cost you your mind's health, your heart, your body. It will cost you. He delivered us. He doth deliver. And he is yet to deliver us. The deliverance that comes at the great death, when this body passes and this spirit and soul go to be with the Lord, what a deliverance. To be released from a body of sin. I have a natural tendency to do wrong. I have a constant pull to do wrong. Can you imagine what seeing Jesus is going to be like without this body and without that pull? What a deliverance. And it'll just, none of us know what that's like. None of us can fathom that, but to go, wow, it's gone. I can see Jesus fully. Before I couldn't because the limitations. Verse number 10, it says here, past, present, and future deliverance. I'm so glad Jesus didn't die for some of our sins. Jesus paid it all. And you're set free by the Lord Jesus. All the things that Jesus says you've been delivered from. Have you noticed the more that you read the Bible, the more you understand how lost you were before he saved you. See, when you first get saved, you're a sinner that deserves to go to hell. You say, wow, praise the Lord, Jesus saved me. But the longer you live the Christian life and the more you read that book, the more you learned all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My sin was much, I had no idea. And I'm learning how filthy I was before I got saved. And the more you walk with God and the more you learn, the more you see how bad sin is and how wonderful God's love is that he would save someone like you. Amen? You become more aware of it. Take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. So, past, present, and future deliverance. Watch this. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 12. So now, what has Jesus delivered you from? And let's go through a list here. And we saw how it started. Jesus didn't deliver himself so he could deliver us. Then we saw the deliverance is total. It's past, present, and future. It's a total deliverance. Now, what has he delivered us? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Verse 13 has the word delivered in it. But look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Last Sunday we studied light and what you could not approach to. Jesus made you an inheritance of what you could not get close to, or it would have burned you up, that light. And now we're inheritance, we're saints in light when you're saved. Then we learned that darkness, God has delivered you from the power of darkness. From the power of darkness. Jesus didn't reach into your darkness and shine a flashlight. Jesus pulled you out of the darkness into His light. And now we're children of light if you're saved. So God says you were delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness is all around us, but it's not on me. It's not in my life. I've been rescued or delivered this morning. I like declaring to you, you have been delivered from the power of darkness. Now go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, delivered from the power of darkness. Look at Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 5. It says here, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." I'll explain that to you in just a second. Look at verse 6. "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." So God says we were delivered from the law. What's the law? The law is going to be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what God gave Moses to give to the people, 613 laws. Some say the 10, but the 10, the more you read your Bible, the more you find out there's things that sin that you had no idea were a sin. God says, and before you got saved, listen to this, because this is what the verse is describing. Before you got saved, all the law could do was condemn you. Because if you break one law, God says you've broken them all. "Well, I've never killed anybody." You ever tell a lie? Then you're an adulterer. You're a murderer. If you break one law, you've broken them all. If you can't keep them all, you can't keep just one. All the law's purpose was to do was to show how holy God is, and that you had, it was a condemning. It showed you your need for Jesus. It showed you, that's why you need Jesus this morning. You say, "How bad?" You don't know how bad, but you need Him bad. Amen? And it says here, all the law could do was condemn you to death. It had no life-giving power. But when you get saved, Jesus says, "I can help you do that. I can help you do all of those that you couldn't do before. I can help." Jesus delivered you from what condemned you, the law, and could never give you life, to a relationship that can now give you victory. You've been delivered from the law. The law could not save you. That's why you can't be good enough. You can't obey enough. You can't, if you could do enough good, the law, that was not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to condemn and to show you what a sinner you are. That's why all this talk about, "Well, people are good. Everybody's got good in them." That's Hindu. And there's nothing that, my Bible doesn't teach anything like that. If anything, it teaches, Romans 7, "There's no good that dwelleth in me." No good. I have nothing good in me. The only good part about me is Jesus. And if I'm a blessing to you, it ain't me. It's the Lord. Because I'm rotten. "Oh, people are good." And you get, that's not, society is starting to prove easily, I wish it wasn't so easily seen, but society is easily showing that's not true. So the law, its purpose was to show you what a sinner you are. We've been delivered from the law into a relationship with Jesus that now gives us life and victory and a way of overcoming and living in victory. Okay, that's Romans chapter 7. Go to Galatians chapter 1. What has God delivered you from? Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Ready? Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. From this present evil world. So, watch this. Jesus doesn't change the world and make it an easier place to live. Jesus delivers you from this world, this evil world. That's why there's things in this world I don't want to be a part of anymore. There's things I don't want to listen to anymore. Their music, I don't want their lifestyle. I've been delivered from this present evil world. Jesus doesn't change the world for you. He changes you for the world and delivers you from the evil of this world. That's why the world hates you after you get saved. Jesus said, the world hates you because you belong to me now. You don't partake of you've been delivered from that. Christian, think about this just for a second. It takes a lot more of God's power to make me holy so I'm not a part of this world than it does to change the world that doesn't affect me. In other words, Christian, your life, there's things that aren't so, you've been delivered from. You've been delivered from this present evil world. Praise the Lord. Watch this. Let's go to another verse. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, what have I been delivered from? The power of darkness. I've been delivered from the law. I've been delivered from this present evil world. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, we've been delivered from every evil work. Jesus Christ is more powerful than alcohol. Jesus Christ is more powerful than drugs. Jesus Christ is more powerful than pornography. Jesus Christ is more powerful than video games. Jesus Christ is more powerful than anybody that has ever failed you that you want to blame your failures on. Jesus Christ has more power to deliver you from every evil work. That's the power of the gospel. This morning there is, okay, here we go. You don't have to have any of it. You say, why is this important? Because it's amazing what people give themselves to. I remember the man that I was in the Marine Corps with. We were best friends until he got kicked out for marijuana use. And that's back when marijuana was illegal. And they asked him right before they dishonorably discharged him. And he deserved it. But I remember him talking. And they said, how come you smoke marijuana? He said, because there's so much pressure. He didn't have God. There's so much pressure and I just can't. Okay, take your dishonorable discharge and get out of here. Guess what happens when you live without? Jesus delivered me from all of that. He is much more powerful than anything. In other words, when you don't live your life with God, you destroy yourself. You've been delivered. I just need a drink. The Lord doesn't give you rest. Well, I just need some narcotics and I need something to calm me down. Where does God fit in your life? You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. We can list anything. It's amazing what people run to. You've been delivered from every evil work. Remember the Lord's Prayer when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same God that can provide your food every day can give you victory over evil every day. The same God. You've been delivered. Are you going to live like somebody that's delivered? Or do you not give the Lord a chance? I find that's learning to trust God as the Christian life. Learning, I don't need the alcohol. Well, yeah, but it gives me a buzz and it helps me relax and helps me. God doesn't. It's like, and I'll say it again, Christian atheism. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but the way I live my life down here on this earth, God doesn't have anything to do with help. And the only reason is, it's not because God doesn't want to help you, it's because you won't let him. when you turn to everything else? Christian, isn't it wonderful to know as you read the Bible, you've been delivered. You could live in victory every day. Amen? I love the hope of that. Amen? The only reason you didn't live in victory is because you quit. You quit. That's what you repent of. God, I'm sorry. I didn't trust. I had it available. I didn't use it. I'm sorry. Right? We've been what a wonderful verse. We've been delivered from every evil work. How about this? Here, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Go back to near Revelation, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, there's a verse I just want to read to you real quick. Here in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, when they chose a king, they said, "We want a king like all the other nations." And Samuel said, "But God's your king." "Yeah, but we want a real king that we can physically see." And then it broke Samuel's heart. God said, "They've rejected me. They haven't rejected you." And then listen to this verse. Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside." Listen. "For then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." You know what that teaches me? You're going to give yourself to something. And if you don't give yourself to the Lord and let God occupy you, you will pursue things that are vain and come to nothing and destroy you. That's the American society. We have so much freedom, and I'm glad. I don't want to live anywhere else. But America has used its freedom to do whatever they've wanted to do. God has not been a part of it. And what does that make? Voila. A society of hedonism, narcissism, self-centeredness, self-worship. I live for me. I do what I want to do. And you have people, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You better serve God. That's what 1 Samuel 12 said. You better serve Him. Because if you don't, you'll destroy yourself. You don't have what it takes to lead your life. Now, New Testament, you've been delivered. If you don't give yourself to the deliverer, the one that delivered you, your life will amount to nothing. What a wonderful encouragement. Amen. Here in 2 Peter chapter 2, watch this. Look at verse 9. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." We learned Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." 2 Peter 2, 9 says, God knows how to deliver people who want to love Him out of temptation. And the only reason you don't get victory isn't because God hasn't given it to you, it's because you don't want it. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 is very convicting. That means every time you sin, when you were tempted, God gave you a way out. God always gives an escape. And God never lets you be tempted above what you can handle.
"Well, boy, that was just a really heavy-duty temptation. I just couldn't handle that."
If it was so much you couldn't resist it, God wouldn't let it. God would not allow it to come your way. The Bible plainly teaches that, which is so convicting. 2 Peter 2, 9, God knows how to deliver godly people out of temptation. And when you love the Lord and you put God first and you're doing your best, and it may not be like so-and-so or so-and-so, but you're doing the best you can do, the Lord knows how to deliver godly people out of temptation. Christian, all you got to do is give your heart to the Lord. God can help you. He's delivered you from every evil work, from this present evil world, from the power of darkness, from the law, from temptation. You've been delivered. The only reason you don't live in victory is because you don't let God help you. Amen. Here, how about this? Just a couple more verses and then Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Watch this. Look at verse number 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. What a phrase, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died for everybody. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. For him to die for you, he had to become like you, right? He became a partaker of the same. He put on flesh like we put on clothes. He lived 33 and a half years. He worked on a construction site and never sinned, right? He became partakers of our flesh, lived in a perfect body, never sinned, so he could die for us. Watch this. It says here that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and watch, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus did not die to deliver you from death. Jesus died on the cross to deliver you from the fear of dying. Before, in the Old Testament, everybody feared death. They never knew when it was going to happen. And it governed all their decisions. Before you got saved, death was horrible. Death should scare you if you're lost. If you die tomorrow, if you die tonight, you'll burn in hell and the burning never stops. It should scare you. But if you're saved and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, I don't fear death. I know it's going to happen, but I don't fear it, and it doesn't control all my decisions anymore. It used to, oh, well, that might kill me. Well, I don't want to, I got to be careful. Now, what controls my thinking? I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live eternally in heaven. That is supposed to influence all of my decisions. All of the things that I'm going to live forever one day in glory. I'm going to get rewarded. I know what's coming. I'll say it again. Jesus didn't die to deliver us from death. He died to deliver us from fearing it. We had some people come to our church. Don't be mean to people that come to our church wearing a mask, okay? Bless their hearts. It just amazed, we just had that happen, what, a month ago or something like that? And everybody treated them right, and I think you should, okay? Don't walk up and, you know, pull it and snap it to their face and stuff like that. That's totally unnecessary. However, it amazes me how worthless the mask is. It doesn't work. They've already said it doesn't work. It's never worked. But if you're that scared of death, why don't you get saved? Amen? And then don't live your life in fear of death. You know when I'm going to die? When God's done with me. Amen? And when God's done with me, I don't want to stay here. Remember that great death we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? What did Paul say? The time of my departure is at hand. I am ready to be delivered. You ever been in an airport and said departure flights? Paul was looking on the board. Paul, flight departs, 2:15. Destination, glory. The presence of God. He said, the time of my I'm ready to get out of here. Amen. That's supposed to be our attitude. This life is not all that I have. I'm only here for a short time. I've been delivered. Christian, it's wonderful. If you're saved, you've been delivered from the fear of death. From the fear of death. Here, to match that up, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Ready? Look, it used to be, you know how child rearing used to be? In America, when you prayed with your 5-year-old kid, you know what we prayed? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. With a 5-year-old, you grew up thinking about, I might die tonight. Wait a second. If you prayed that, okay, that's what my parents prayed with me. I don't think I'm the only twisted one in the room, right? You were taught nobody escapes death, and children die unexpectedly. Teenagers die unexpectedly. Young people die unexpectedly. We were taught that death will come at any time, so it's best to get saved. Amen. Since you aren't going to live forever, trust Jesus as your Savior so that when you do die, He can take your soul to heaven. Amen. I hope you're still raising your kids that way. Amen. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I'm glad the Lord my soul will take. Amen. All right. Here, look at 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. And I have read you this. I've already referenced it. But we've been delivered since we're going to live forever. Verse 10, God delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver. I'm just simply saying this morning, there's not supposed to be a fear of death. You've heard me say it before. If you're saved, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. But if you're lost, death is the worst thing that can happen to you. Because when your heart beats for the last time, the burning begins and it never stops. It never stops. Last verse we'll look at. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. My handwriting might be a little off. 1 Thessalonians. Okay, ready? Watch this. Look at verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. Watch this. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If you're saved this morning, the wrath that's coming is the tribulation. That's the wrath of the Lamb. That's when God pours out His wrath on the earth and Israel to finish their transgression, Daniel chapter 9. There's a wrath coming. Then there's a battle of revolt where God fries every reveler at the end of the millennial reign. It's called the battle of revolt, Revelation chapter 20. You can read, God kills everyone, fries them all. The earth explodes, and then the wrath of the Father comes on the great white throne judgment, where everybody who's ever died is resurrected and brought before the great white throne, and then they're cast in a resurrected body into the lake of fire where their body cannot die. They go from hell, spiritual suffering, into the lake of fire, physical burning. There's wrath coming. And what's verse 10 say? I've been delivered from the wrath to come. Well, you know what's coming? Yeah, and I'm gonna miss it. Amen. If you're lost, it's a great reason to get saved. The wrath of God is coming. The wrath, maybe you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, right? Pilgrim's Progress. What did he hear evangelists saying? Flee from the wrath to come. There's wrath to come. It's coming. You better get saved. If you're saved, you've been delivered from all of it. I know we're not going through the tribulation. I know it. I've been delivered from it. Did you know all that's happening on the earth? Well, do you know what might happen if World War III breaks out if NATO? I've been delivered from it. Well, yeah, but if China invades Taiwan and then I've been delivered from it. Well, yeah, but don't you know what's going to happen with? I'm telling you, I've been delivered from it. We need less news and more Bible. All the news does is drags you into fear. That's all it does. And all God's Word does is it lets you know you've been delivered. You've been delivered from all of it. Now live for the Lord. Enjoy. Is Jesus your deliverer? Do you let Him help you? We've been delivered from so much when you're saved. It's just letting Jesus help us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. Please use this truth. Lord, what You've given us, we'll never fully understand. But Lord, thank You. What a Savior. What a salvation. I pray that please You'd recall it to our minds over and over again. Bless these people and thank You for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have a short altar call.